One of the things that I've done over the years that's been super helpful is during seasons that are super busy or stressful, at the end of a day, when I know that I need to rest or go be present with my family, I will close my computer. I will say, I have done what I can, and that will be enough. Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Well, on today's show, I'm excited for this conversation. We're going to talk about how do you measure success. And there's been a lot of good things happening in my world and a lot of great things happening in your world. And so we're going to dive in today and share with people about some powerful pivots that are going on and how we're measuring success today in our lives and in our business.
That's awesome. And now I have to start by asking you a question. Now, you know, I stalk you on social media. Okay. I saw that you won some awards recently and I am dying to hear more about it. So what's going on?
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for asking. So I, in the last 5 months, have invested in myself. I joined a new coaching program with my coach, Richmond Dim, giving him a shout out. He's the guy that wrote the book Tiny Challenge. And I learned some new things that I've been implementing. And so that award post where I received 3 different awards in the last boot camp that he hosted, thank you so much, for multiple $100,000 and then $250,000 in sales. I am right at almost 500,000 in sales in the last 5 months since I joined his program. That's awesome. So thank you so much. So I was celebrating that with the others in that group, and I got to bring about 30 of my students along with me to celebrate. And so I'm just going through a season of tremendous growth. And, you know, when I started my business, one of the things that I did was I wrote down what I wanted my monthly sales to be in my business. And I don't know if you remember this, like if I've ever showed this, if you're watching on YouTube, I wrote $100,000 on a $1 bill. And I have had this sitting on my desk ever since I started my business. And you know, I've moved multiple times. So every time we move, that dollar bill moves with me and it sits on my desk. And it's just a reminder of that goal that I had set for myself. And so the month after I joined his coaching program, I didn't just hit 100,000 in sales. I hit 140,000 in sales awesome. That month. Thank you. And so I've been pivoting in my business a little bit and doing some things a little bit different to be able to have different results. And so I'm so excited to be able to share that and share that with my students too.
You know, one of the things I've always appreciated about you, Andrea, is that you're willing to invest in your education. Since we've been together in a mastermind for almost 5 years.
Yep.
And throughout those 5 years, you have participated in numerous different mentorships and program and spent, you know, funds towards in educating yourself. And now you're reaping the benefits of that education. So, you know, for me, what I've gained from that you have got to invest in your own education, your knowledge. You cannot be afraid to get in a room with people who are doing something you want to do. Mm-hmm. And this is just a prime example of why that matters and why it's important to make sure that you're joining mentorship, have an idea what it is you're trying to do and pursue that education to help you to get, you know, reach those goals. And now you're talking about it and celebrating one of the bigger goals that you've had as a result of you signing up for mentorships and programs. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think over the last 2.5 years since I launched my coaching business, I've invested close to $100,000 in mentorships in myself to learn new approaches, create leverage. And you know, one of the other things that I do to invest in myself and in my business is to hire the right kind of team members. Yeah. And that can be a process. And so when we say that, you know, pursuing a goal it's often who, not how.
Yeah.
it's not just about the, you know, who can make this happen for me. It's who is the team I need around me? Who are the mentors I need around me? Who are the fellow business owners that I can learn from, that I want to surround myself with, who are doing next level things, and that I choose to spend time with and invest in. And Brenda, you're one of those who's in my life. And I know I feel like I'm always learning something from you and from the other ladies that are in our mastermind group together. So who you surround yourself with, that association is one of the most critical parts.
Absolutely.
To building whatever you want to build in your business.
And it's a conscious decision.
Yeah.
It's a conscious, you have to make, you know, certain decisions, and then you have to do the work and making sure you're in the right spaces at the right time. And as you said, with the right people, and that contributes to, you know, success, but success means different things to different people at different points of your journey. And that's the part we have to understand. There isn't one overall definition of success.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've shared this recently that I feel like I'm entering a season of my life where I need to be more focused on being the mom that I want to be, being the wife that I want to be, showing up in my community at the level that I want to. And so as I'm implementing new systems and processes and putting the right team around me, that's one of the things that's like a big why for me is surrounding myself with the right who's and the right strategies, and having the right people to help me implement those things, because life is not business. And sometimes we can mix that up, and it can feel like, that, you know, our life has just become about all about doing business instead of actually showing up and being, you know, present for the people that we love. So that's been a huge thing for me. And I know that over the last few years, like, I've taken vacations and I've done different things, and there's been a lot of weeks that I worked way more hours than I want to be working. And so one of the things I'm really excited to report right now is that, you know, during this season, I'm making bigger sales than I ever have in my business. And I'm also taking every Friday off for the most part. I don't work Fridays, and I'm taking about 1 week off per month, during this season, so that I can make sure that I'm staying on track with the goals that I have for my personal life and with my family as well.
Well, work-life balance, as they say, you know, is important. And when you recognize that, okay, wait, you know, yes, I have all this going on over here, but I need to make a conscious decision to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do over here. And I think we as women sometimes can get lost in all the things that we have to do. And then we think that, okay, wait a minute, I'll do that in just a second, putting certain things on hold. And we can't afford to do that, especially when you're growing a business. So I applaud you for recognizing that and then doing something about it. But I also know that you have a strong support system around you, with you and Josiah. And he's a great great balancing, you know, a balancer for you, because what you don't see and he does, you all are able to kind of come together and have that healthy conversation and come to some type of understanding on what's the best way to move forward. And I see that, I recognize that. And I think that's just as important as you making that decision, is to have someone there to help guide you through it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really good at reminding me to have fun.
Yeah.
In the process.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just simple things like we're going to close the laptop and we're going to go outside and we're going to make a little bonfire in the backyard and we're going to roast things. And it's called fun.
Yes. Say it with me. Fun.
Yeah.
That's great. I love to hear that. I love to hear that. So what else is going on in your business? I mean, since you now have got this realization of how you want to bring balance to it, what are you going to do going forward?
Yeah. So one of the things that I've been doing over the past few months that has both led to some better consistency in the numbers and consistently reaching that goals is, you know, I learned some new strategies and I put some things in place, and then I very quickly trained my team on how to help me to implement those things. And so putting a system in place and then solidifying that with a team member who is accountable and responsible for it. Mm-hmm. And that's an area of growth for me that I would say I'm continuing to grow in and constantly looking for ways that I can leverage trusted team members moving forward, because I can't do it all. And, that, you know, I think as women, we think, oh, I got this.
Right.
I can I'll handle make it work. I'll make it work. And then we get into things like telling ourselves, oh, they'll understand, meaning my family, they'll understand this is a busy season. And, you know, you look up and you string a bunch of those busy seasons together and you realize that life is passing you by.
Yes, and that's true.
You know, your grandbabies are growing up and you're missing it. So it's for me, that focus on what can we do to improve, what can I do to create that consistency and put a system and a team member in place to be able to help with it consistently moving forward.
That's kind of where I am as well. I have one child, my son, who's about to turn 40. Can you believe it? In a couple of days, I'm turning 58. I'm super, super excited about that. Yeah. And lately he's been coming to me and because I talked to him about what we're going to do next in Tuskegee or whatever. And lately he's like, no, you're not doing that. You got too much on your plate. You need to, you know, you either need to wait or get someone else to do it. So, you know, so even for me, it's like, okay. You know, and he's recognizing that, Ma, you're doing amazing and great things, but you're not doing enough for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so even if it's just him saying that out loud, allows me to understand that you need to bring in help. These are areas you need to focus on. You know, I would go back and forth between Georgia and Atlanta. I mean, between Georgia and Alabama. Mm-hmm. 1 week when school started, I was going back and forth like three times within the week. And it was more or less the realization I came to is like, you need to come and stay. Mm-hmm. You can't go back and forth. I know the things that you need to take care of. This is what a conversation I'm having myself. I know the things you need to take care of, but you can't go up and down the road. You know, you're not as young as you used to be. So it takes a lot, you know, out of me. So I am, for me, the success is really being able to let go of all of the control and feeling like it's got to be done now and it's got to be done by me, just part of like what you described, and making room to build the team that you have. Is one of my goals is to get to that point where I have a stronger team than what I have now, so that I can enjoy the fruits of my labor. Right now I'm still laboring.
Yeah.
So I'm fighting for, I got three more rehabs that I need to finish, and it's been a bear. You know, it has been a bear, but I'm looking at it like, once I get on the other side of those three rehabs that I'm halfway through, there's freedom on the other side of those rehabs. That's the way I'm looking at it, because I'm not now sending money out because of, you know, rehabs, everything goes out and nothing comes in.
Right.
And so it eats your profit. So, you know, once I finish those rehabs and do whatever exit strategy I'm going to do with those properties, I can then lean back, focus on creating a management company team, let them manage the properties. We have 18 now still in Tuskegee. Let that manage it, and I'll be able to be more creative about what some of the next steps are going to be for our business. We're not buying any more houses. We've made that decision. But now I'm able to kind of sit back and learn from what I did and I wouldn't do again. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would encourage other people, the path I would encourage other people to take, and also recognizing what happiness and success looks like. It's not always the huge return at the end of every month. It's not always that. You know, sometimes it's just the freedom to be able to say yes to your grandkids, you know, when they give you one day's notice.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. Anna, there's a princess tea party tomorrow. Oh, great. We're going to go. That's freedom to me. It's not always about the dollar amount coming in, the checking account, all of that. That will fall into place. But for me, it's the freedom to be able to enjoy my family and to be, you know, to be able to show up. And so I'm super, super excited about this. Now, you know that I've been struggling probably for like the last 15 weeks with trying to do some refis on several of my properties in order to free up some capital to finish the three properties that we were talking about. And for many different reasons, it didn't come together the way I expected it to. Mm-hmm. And I found myself, and it was in the middle of us preparing for a family vacation for my son's 40th. He wanted to go to a Formula One race in London.
Yeah.
So, you know, and initially when we planned to take this trip, all the refis were supposed to be done before, but they weren't.
Right.
So I had to have a conversation with myself so that I would not ruin this vacation or ruin it for myself, because I'm going back and forth with lenders on the phone and worrying about this, this and that, whatever. I had to tell myself, life is too short. This is not something you're going to be able to put off and relive 2 months down the line. You're going to London with your son for his birthday. You're going to have to be present. I forced myself to be present despite the fact that all of this was going on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had to do that because, I mean, when am I going to go be able to take my grandbabies to London to a Formula One race and then go to Disneyland, you know, in Paris and come back? And, you know, and to the point where I was almost to the point where I was canceling going. I sat down with my son. It's like, Brand, you know, I can't go. I need to focus on this and whatever. My grown butt son again. No, you're going. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not even listening to you. We're going on this trip. You're going to enjoy yourself. All of that, well, we can deal with that when we come back. So even in that moment, you know, I felt proud, first of all.
Yeah.
Here my grown butt son is telling me. I'm super proud of him anyway. But, you know, he told me what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
He gave me permission to be present.
I love
it. And for
it.
Whatever reason, I thought I needed that permission from him to be present. Because this business that I'm growing in the background is for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when the road gets bumpy, believe me, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm not going to take my family out with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but those are the bumps in the road. You go up, you go down, you know, I mean, we both had, had moments when we've had some tough conversations or just some tough moments that stirred up a little bit of emotions, but we both know that we're more than capable of reaching our goals and pivoting when we need to pivot. And that's, you know, that's what I appreciate about you as well, is that we're alike in that way. It's like, okay, we're going to try this. Okay, wait, I see a wall coming. I think I'm going to pivot to the left.
No, it's really good. And, you know, one of the things, I love that you said that your son has been helpful in having stern conversations with you too, because he can see things that like when you're in the middle of the stress, it can be hard to give yourself that permission.
That's right.
But one of the things that I've done over the years that's been super helpful, and I want to share this with you, I want to share this with our listeners, is during seasons that are super busy or stressful, one of the things that I will sometimes say out loud to myself is at the end of a day, when I know that I need to rest or go be present with my family, I will close my computer and I will say this. I will say, I have done what I can and that will be enough.
Yeah, that's it.
And I just open hands and I give it to God and I say, God, do what you can. I've done what I can and now step in.
That's right.
And take it and make it happen, because I've done what I can and that will be enough. And just to trust that your best is going to be enough. And that's sometimes that's all you can do is just give it what you can, but then step away.
That's right. You know, I have to remind myself, and I know that, you know, you give a lot to, you know, the people that come into your presence as a coach and as a mentor. And I do as well, that, you know, I have to remind myself that I need to take heed to the same thing that I'm pouring into them. because it's easy for me to say, girl, you need to do this, consider doing that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I think I know how God works in my life. He'll have me say something to someone else. And I had no idea I was going to share it, because you don't always know what someone is going to ask you for. Mm-hmm. And he'll have me share something with someone. And then he'll say, but that's for you too.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? So that's for you too. So being open to receiving that and knowing that, you know, that I'm still learning too. I'm still, you know, I still need the encouragement that as I give it to you, I'm also trying to give it to myself. I think it's important to be open to receive that and not feel like I got it all worked out. And that's not the case.
Right. Now, Brenda, you've also I've been stalking you on Facebook as well. And you've also alluded to some powerful pivot that's going on in your world. Would you mind sharing just a little bit about what's going on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As you know, I am one of the founders or co-founders of Roar. I'm super, super excited about what we created with, you know, four other amazing women, which it's been a year. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we, you know, launched Roar. I've recently, at the end of this month, I am going to be moving on and being able to take some time to focus on growing my brand. Now, I still support Roar. I think they have some amazing things happening for the next year. They're launching a new program called The Blueprint. And I'm super excited, you know, for what's available to sisters that need that level of support and networking and guidance, that they're offering that. But for myself, the path that, you know, that I feel like God is leading me on is focusing on my brand. And I am doing some very exciting things in Tuskegee. Some of the things that God has planted in my spirit that I'm working on now, it's really the first time that I'm sharing it, you know, outside of one wise counsel person that I speak with on a regular basis. Uh-huh. But as you know, I invest in Tuskegee. I'm in Tuskegee right now. The bulk of our portfolio is in Tuskegee. One of our properties, you've heard me refer to it, is the 22 acres. Uh-huh. The 22 acres, the house in and of itself is basically finished. And instead of us using it as a traditional rental, we're thinking about using it as like a creative studio. Wow. And what do I mean? There's 7 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. Each room could be considered a studio. You can record creative content. You can record podcasts. You can go in and have meetings, works, all different type of things that service the communities. You can have meetups. You can have a day party if you choose to. I mean, it's just a lot of different things that I would be able to accomplish in one location that Tuskegee lacks. Mm-hmm. And it would be so creative. It's something where I want to create a space where students can come. We're about 4 miles from the university. Uh-huh. So students could come and decompress. I'm going to have a meditation room set up for them down the road. I would love to put a large spa, you know, outside on the grounds where they can kind of get in and just do some, you know, de-stressing. Yeah. So it's amazing. I'm super, super excited about it. And let me tell you how I got there. Mm-hmm. I'm a night owl. I was on my computer and looking on Instagram, and I like to see what other people are doing. I ran across this sister in Chicago, and actually in Bronzeville, Chicago. She's an actress, and she created this creative space for other creative, you know, thinkers. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be amazing in Tuskegee. So I used that as an inspiration to come up with something similar that would suit Tuskegee and its population. So cool. I am super excited about this shift and this turn. I have one more house also that's not occupied. The tenants moved out on the other side of town. And I'm thinking about turning that into a co-working space.
Cool.
Yeah, they don't have that either.
Okay. This is awesome. And that's it. And I love, and so for people who aren't familiar with Tuskegee, talk just a little bit about that community and why you're so passionate about serving there.
Tuskegee is in Alabama. It's about 15 miles from Auburn. It's a college town. Tuskegee University is here. The bulk of the employment is either the university or people work for the city. The population here is less than 10,000 people. I was drawn to Tuskegee. Well, let me say this. I grew up hearing about Tuskegee. So, you know, all the amazing things that have happened in Tuskegee, where a lot of people are familiar with Tuskegee Airmen. A lot of people are familiar with the experiment that they had here in Tuskegee, which wasn't that great for the locals, but it was something that happened in Tuskegee, along with the fact that it's an HBCU here, one of within the top 10s. It had at one point one of the only HBCU veterinarian programs. I think a second one just opened in Maryland this year. So there's a lot going on in this little college town. Yeah. But the population here is an older population. So what was happening was that when students graduate or when the kids get old enough to leave to go to college, they're not coming back. Their grandparents are still here, or there's some senior people that's still here. So the population here has started to come down. Mm-hmm. So when I brought my niece here for her orientation, when she got accepted to the veterinarian program, and I came to Tuskegee for the first time, I was shocked at the condition of the town. It was underserved. And it was doing this thing. It was right around COVID. And it was also the around the time that I, you know, and I had made a decision to get in, to get into real estate investing full time. Right. So when I came, I'm like, okay, I live on the outskirts of Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't need my investment dollars, but Tuskegee does. So I came, I became a part of the community. I joined the Chamber of Commerce. You know, I started building relationships with the locals. We started investing in real estate. They had a housing shortage for the university. So it kind of started there initially. And then as I started, you know, getting engaged with the community, and I like the area. It has historical and cultural value for me.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure Tuskegee survives. So, which is the reason why we wanted to be a huge part of the revitalization. And now there are more investors here. I found out yesterday that some investors have bought some space downtown. They're supposed to be building. They're building up. Sure. So there's more to come. So I'm just glad to be a part of it. And, you know, we plan on, you know, staying here for the long haul. When you invest in underserved communities, this is a thing that people have to understand. It's a little bit riskier than, well, let me say this. Real estate investing is risky anyway. Right. So it's a little bit riskier when you're dealing in an underserved community as compared to a community that's already thriving. Mm-hmm. Quite a few thriving communities now started out as an underserved community. So it's not like jumping, you know, drop in, flip a house and roll out what you do. No, it's a long-term plan that you have to have in order to truly be a part of the community and to be a part of change. And we're committed to that. So, I'm super, super excited about finding my Tuskegee, and I encourage others to find their Tuskegee in whatever area that means something to you and you want to be a part of that change. I encourage you to do it. Just be prepared, you know, for what's to come when you're investing for the long haul and not just a quick buck or a quick turnaround. It's about more than that. I'm a mission investor. So that's my mission.
I love it. I love it. You know, we're talking about how do you measure success today? And I love that from the start, from the minute I met you, you were talking about investing with a mission instead of just to make a dollar.
Right.
Like, well, so many people talk about maximizing on your ROI. You know, your return on investment means so much more. And I know that you've had several profitable deals, and we were always astounded at the price that you could get a home for in that area compared to other major metropolitans. And even my small town that has 5,000 people, like the average home price here in Colorado, in this little mountain town I'm in, is about $650,000.
Oh, wow.
And Brenda's out here saying, I just bought a house for $20,000 and we turned it into something beautiful and got a big check afterwards, or turned it into a super profitable rental. And, you know, just like all of us, there's deals that go amazing and there's deals that don't go so hot, but
yeah,
you know, your risk per deal is so balanced compared to what a lot of people are seeing in the more expensive communities. So, but what I love about how you measure success is that it's not just about how profitable a deal was.
Right. Right. It's what I can do for the community.
Yeah.
You know, it's being able to provide quality housing to, you know, first time home buyers, or making it possible for someone to go in as a homeowner. I have student housing, faculty housing, Section 8 housing, traditional housing, and now we're trying to inch our way over to the commercial side. And when I sell a property, I offer it to the tenant first. And if there's any way I can get my Section 8 tenant to buy the property, I'm going to do all that I can to help them to become a homeowner. If I can do that, that's my goal.
Yes.
Is to help them become a homeowner, because a lot of times it's not that they can't do it. It's for lack of opportunity to do it, you know, and not knowing how to do it. So, you know, so for me, I think that there's enough to go around. I do not think of other investors as competition. I don't think like that. You know, I invite people to join me. Come and join me. Come here and buy. And I'll help you find a property or whatever the case may be, or help you to do, you know, to do what I'm doing in your community or in an area that you may have some strong feelings for. You know, we all grew up going to, you know, I know for me, I grew up, my parents sent us to Raleigh, North Carolina, or to Ghana, where they grew up, for the summer. And so you have these memories of what it was. And then when you go back now and it's something totally different, you're like, I want to bring back, you know, what it was before, the wholesomeness and all the things that's connected to those memories and those locations. So a lot of people have that one place. They went to college in a particular area or, you know, whatever that was. Then when they start really thinking about it, it's like, okay, wait. Here's an area that now is underserved that I could possibly do the same thing here. Yeah. So it's available to anyone. It's not just Tuskegee. This is my Tuskegee, but you might have your, you know, Detroit or your, you know, Colorado, whatever, you know, it is. It's very, very possible for you to do what I'm doing. And that's what I love about it. It's not just for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. You know, one of the most rewarding house flips that we did over the years was one where we took a home that was just like around the corner from where our kids were going to school at the time. So just around the corner from the elementary school here in town. And one day caution tape went up across the front porch. Uh-oh. And we had been kind of keeping an eye on the property. We're like, what's going to happen with this one? Cause it was on the MLS and it was listed, you know, a little high for our investor standards, but one day caution tape went up across the front porch and we learned it had been condemned because of drug use in the house. Uh-huh. It was condemned because of meth and so, you know, and right in the middle of that flip, the market shifted and we didn't make money on that project like we had hoped we would.
Yeah.
But we took a home that was a known drug house and turned it into one of the cutest little houses on the block and cleaned up a blight on that neighborhood. So now that block and a half from the kids' school, like now it's just like a safer community and it doesn't feel like there's a scary house on the block. And so the reward of doing some of the things that we do is not always financial. It's not always that we don't always measure success with like how big is our bank account. And that's that's one of the ways that I think I'm also growing is like while I'm talking about like hitting financial goals in my business, I'm more excited to be able to share with others how they can do it too. Right. And I know that for me, part of my purpose is creating the business and the life that I desire so that I can inspire other women like, girl, you can do this too. That's and right. to lean in to being of service to more people in that way. So I'm excited. And, you know, one of the things I'm excited for to hear in the future from you is to hear about how are you going to help others to do the thing that you're doing and digging in on their, you know, finding their Tuskegee or whatever, you know, I want to hear what's next for you when it comes to how you're going to continue to help others to navigate that path.
Well, I'm super, super excited about getting back into my coaching programs, building my coaching program and it's really going to lean towards investing in underserved communities. Yeah. I did my last course in Roar, was called Hidden Gold, and it also touched on how to invest or, you know, in underserved communities or if that's the right move for you, because it's not for everyone. Right. So my ultimate goal is to pull together a program to walk with other sisters who are interested in, you know, vetting a community to see if this is a good fit to do something like I'm doing in Tuskegee there. And I want to be, you know, a support system for them and show up any way possible. So we're in the process of putting that together for my next steps. Now, the project with the 22 acres kind of crept up on me. That one is I'm going to get that launched first. And I may even have some of my courses at that house.
Cool. You know, actually, I love it.
Yes, actually on the ground here in Tuskegee, because the reason why I'm saying that that's kind of crept up on me is because Tuskegee is having its homecoming on November the 1st, 150th year anniversary on November the 1st. And I'm like, I need to launch the spot that weekend.
Got
it. At least open it up so people can see it. I'm going to allow some RV parking on the front 10 acres of the property. Open the house up for fellowship, meetups, and all those kind of things in preparation for what's going to happen in the community. So that's causing me to say, over here. let me jump over here, you know, and some of my support sisters are coming to help and assist. Tina, she's flying out to help, you know, help for homecoming weekend, so we can kind of throw this thing together and launch it in such a way that hopefully Tuskegee will welcome us with open arms, and it'll be the beginning of something amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, very cool. But you never know, like, where you're going to get inspiration. I love that you saw something happening in another community, and now it's given you inspiration for something that you can do to pivot with one of your properties and do something that also brings community together in a creative way. That's super exciting.
I'm excited about it. And hopefully, you know, we can have one of our meetups here.
Yes.
In Tuskegee.
Yes. I love
it. All the girls can come on out.
Yes. I would love that. I feel like I can picture it because I've heard you talk about Tuskegee so many times, and I just like, I love small town, you know. Yes. I love small town vibes. It's my thing now. And I'd love to be able to experience that with you and, that, and just see like what you've been working on over the years. Yeah. Like, we got to make that happen. That would be amazing.
Absolutely. I'm super, super excited. I'm excited for what you're experiencing as well. You know, I've just been sitting back and watching you just explode.
Yeah.
You know, and well, all of the other businesses that you have been fortunate enough to be, you know, a part of and be part of the blueprint for all of these different businesses that have launched, you know, in the last couple of years. I think that is so amazing. And I think that's fantastic. It's not just about real estate, what you talk about. It's about everything. It's encouraging people to kind of explore those gifts and talents that they have and get them to the point where they can launch them so that the community can benefit from their talents. I just see you as being a beacon when it comes down to that. And I'm super, super excited for you and that you've reached these, your initial goals. I'm sure you're going to have more goals that you're going to set moving forward. But I remember being a part of your very first group of, you know, coach the coach, you know, and I'm like, you really need to be doing this.
Yeah.
And you're doing it. Look at you.
Oh,
that is fantastic.
It.
I'm so proud
Thank
of you.
You. Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, one of the ways that, one of the things that I've been doing that has been the biggest shift over the last 5 months that I mentioned, I've started doing tiny challenges.
Okay.
And this is, and I have the book here. So this is my coach, Richmond. He recommends this, or he wrote this book called Tiny Challenges, and the approach that that he teaches is what I've been implementing. And now I'm introducing my students to it. I'm telling them like, hey, you guys got to get this book. You got to join this, this thing with me because we're learning something really unique. But what I love about it is it's really, it's taking, instead of like just helping people in big master classes, it's taking it down to a one-on-one level. Yeah. And being able to help someone have a breakthrough in a one-on-one. Yeah. And so I know you and I love tiny towns, and like we love working in smaller community. And this takes it to the next level of working just even one-on-one with someone to help them have a breakthrough, and then introducing them to the community that they can be a part of to grow. And so my tiny challenge is called Nail Your Niche. 4-day jumpstart. So I work with someone one-on-one for 4 days to help them figure out their coaching niche. And when they figure it out, I help them know how to run with that clarity. Yeah. And I always love telling your story, Brenda, because you got clarity quickly and you launched and you had some success right away with that. And then you did it again when you got together with the Roar Sisters. And so you have this like, I feel like whatever you touch is going to be successful. And so I'm so excited for whatever that next chapter looks like, whether it's doing things in Tuskegee or it's, you know, helping other people know how to do their own things in their version of a small town. But I'm super passionate about the impact you can make in just a few people's lives that can create exponential impact.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
and you can do that in a community. You can do that with an individual, but I think that it's been overlooked because we've heard so many people say, well, you've got to create leverage. And I love leverage. I love Facebook groups. I love workshops, and these things are super successful, but then being able to take it to like the one-on-one, let me help you have a breakthrough. That one-on-one leads to exponential impact.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I love the one-on-one, and I've the whole time I've been coaching since I left your program, or I went through it. I didn't leave because I'm still around.
Yeah.
But since I went through your program, you know, I always offer one-on-one in the background because I'd love to try and create something that's uniquely them.
Yes.
So it's not a one size fits all.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that. So, you know, so you have some people and most of my groups have been 10, 15 people. I'd rather have smaller groups because then you can really lean in. Mm-hmm. But I love, you know, being able to have one-on-one. You really get to know people and where they are. And, you know, I think what you're doing is amazing. I often tell people like, you need to call Andrea.
Thank you. I love it. Yeah. Well, if you come across someone or if you're listening to this episode, sisters, and you know somebody that should have their own coaching program, I would love to be able to help them figure out what their niche is. And one of the ways you can connect with me is through my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, or you can register for one of my upcoming workshops called 100K in 90 Days, where I share exactly what I did to launch my coaching business. And in that workshop, if you attend my workshop, then I'm going to offer you your own Nail Your Niche Jumpstart. And Brenda, how can people connect with you if they want to learn more about what you're doing in Tuskegee or learn from you directly?
Okay, you can find me, in my name, Brenda Stroud, on social media, both platforms, Instagram and Facebook, as well as my website, www.brendastroud.com. You can reach me there. You can always DM me. You can send me whatever. You can send a pigeon. You can send whatever you want, and I will return the call. I'm going to be relaunching my Facebook group for my coaching program in the very near future. But awesome. You can still reach me anywhere you see me, just send a pigeon.
Hit me up. I love it.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the conversation today, Brenda. I'm excited for what's next for you.
Thank you. I'm excited for what's going on with you as well and your family. I'm super, super proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, sisters, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.